Tom was the sort of guy who could talk all day, and I could listen to Tom talking all day because he could be fascinating on a whole range of subjects. So we met on the Saturday. He met his death, and we ran over by quite a bit, chatting and arguing about different things. As you say, it was a very normal afternoon. Tom was in great form, but it was one of the most normal things you can do, just meet with someone you know and have a chat, catch up. And then neither he nor I, of course, nor anyone else, could have had any idea of the evil which befell him just a few hours later. And reflecting on that, it is a reminder that, you know, we can never foresee when we will encounter evil. Evil's a force in the world. We hope not to see it in its most extreme and severe forms, but we never know. And after the grief and the shock, which of course are the first reactions to Tom's atrocious death, maybe a little reflection follows. One thing which I'm mulling over, I suppose, at the moment while grieving Tom. It's just that absolutely awful, as you said, diabolical reminder that evil is a reality in the world, which is something we prefer perhaps not to have to think about.
Because I'm also struck, Richard, by, you know, that remark I think I saw on Facebook, which says, I've never lived a week in my life so instructive in the reality of evil and the operation of grace. Do you want to explain that?
I'll do my best. I think maybe the observation about the reality of evil perhaps is more self-explanatory, because what happened to Tom was evil, and we don't really need to go into the whys about that. It's quite self-evident. The operation of grace is something that's perhaps more difficult to get our heads around. But I mentioned that because the week and the period, indeed, after Tom's death had been in many ways an extraordinary period in my life, because I have been absolutely awestruck at the sheer Christianity of the response of so many people who were very, very hard, very, very badly affected by Tom's death. You and I kind of met at Tom's memorial service just 2 days after we found out about what had happened to Tom. And that was an incredible service for many reasons. It was a beautiful liturgy, which always helps. But in the immediate aftermath of a tragic bereavement, hundreds of people gathered to pray for Tom without a single word of anger or even bitterness at what had happened to him. Confident in the promises of the Lord, willing even at that early stage to begin to turn their mind to the question of forgiveness. And that to me is the operation of grace. And I've seen it in other ways in recent days. The way people are reaching out to each other, the way people reached out to me indeed, the way people have turned to prayer in response to suffering. So I deliberately mentioned evil and grace in the same sentence. Because while I'm not going to suggest for one moment that good things can come out of something so atrocious as happened to Tom, but grace is a permanent fact through life if we are great by it. The week following Tom's death, I think, has been an incredible illustration of the operation of grace in the world, just the way people have pulled together and the way people have responded to what happened.
I think I can agree with you, by the way. I remember, obviously, I was at that memorial for Tom, struck as well by the, you know, as you said, the tangibility, I think, is really the word that we're looking for here, perhaps, of how, you know, everybody was in step together. There wasn't a syllable or a note missed. And, you know, it was tangible that people were there because they wanted to express that grief. They wanted to express their faith. And they were united. It wasn't a question of a revulsion towards God. How dare you let this happen? It's quite the opposite. And that must be a sign of grace by itself.
Absolutely. Because on a human level, it would be very easy to understand if any of us had revolted in the immediate aftermath of what happened to Tom. If we cried up to God and said, how can you let this happen? That would have been, on a human level, a very understandable response. But faith teaches all sorts of things, but it also teaches the right response to suffering, which of course is to turn back to the Lord. And it really was incredible to see hundreds of people spontaneously but collectively coming together to do that, with very real suffering, but also with very visible confidence.
Going back to, you know, how you knew Tom, and did you know him in university, is that right?
We met in university, but it wasn't for a few years really that we became good friends. And then once we did become good friends, we never lost the connection. It would never be too long without a conversation. And Tom was very good about checking in with his friends. If he hadn't spoken to you in a while, he would get in touch. He was very conscientious that way. But friendships are a funny thing. Sometimes we lose them, but more often they deepen and they deepen and they deepen through life.
As the further you walk along the road together, the more of life you catch together, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the more you have that wonderful experience of being able to trust a friend, confide in a friend, lean on a friend, and be rewarded for the risk, and Tom always rewarded you for taking that risk with him, the more our friendship deepens, the more it becomes a Christian friendship, because you're speaking from heart to heart. It's not just an acquaintance in which you kind of go for a chat and, you know, talk about what's in the paper, but you're actually talking as kind of one heart to another. And Tom and I, as I say, didn't get there immediately, but once we got there, you know, it was a strong friendship for which I was deeply grateful.
Well, he was clearly a man of courage.
Tom was a man of courage, and he showed it in many ways. You very rightly mentioned his work at the Iona Institute. Iona come under ferocious attack, very bitter, very unfair attack often, pretty much every day of the week. And Tom bore that not only with resilience and determination, but often with good humour, if sometimes fairly dry good humour. He also showed it in his unfailing willingness to bear witness. Now, I say that because for Tom to talk about the faith with maybe myself or yourself would not be too great a risk or a challenge as such, because although we're all finding our way in different ways, we're all perhaps broadly on the same wavelength. But Tom would bear witness with people who were completely and utterly opposed to his worldview, to his most settled convictions. And he would do that quite fearlessly, also with that rare talent for being able to disagree very strongly with what someone's saying while remaining actually a wonderful conversationalist and a very good-natured person. And that always impressed me, that Tom could take his beliefs out into the world, share them, live them, and make friends with people who hated what he was saying. And that's a rare ability.